Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 135, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Thanks for joining us here on the Watchdog Network as we get you ready for another exciting weekend worth of sports action, trying to keep it rolling as we head into football season. We're going to talk some football on today's show. Among other things, we got tennis to wrap up. MLB All-Star Game is in the books, along with the Home Run Derby. We got WNBA and Big 3 basketball talk. Golf, of course, Open Championship going on this weekend over in Northern Ireland. We'll cover that one as well. And again, if you don't want to wait for this show to be out on the radio, you can check it out at the Pine Room Studios. You can go to our YouTube page, the Pine Room Studios. Follow us on BLS underscore PRP on X, and you can get all these picks ahead of time. So if you're time sensitive and you don't want to wait till the airing of the show here on the Watchdog Network, you can get all these things early. Again, pineroomstudios.com, at the Pine Room Studios on YouTube, and BLS underscore PRP for Pine Room Better's Last Stand picks on X. So got multiple avenues. You can also download it wherever you get your podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Better's Last Stand will be there. All right, let's recap last week. Last week was a week where we were not very good. I'll be the first to admit we had been running very, very hot. Was it a catastrophe? No, but it was saved by earlier this week's Home Run Derby, where actually not the Home Run Derby, but the swing off in the All-Star Game on Tuesday night, which I didn't even really remember was a thing. I kind of forgot about that was a rule, and it actually came into play. So we had a pretty good night. We did have the American League, which did not turn out well, but we did have Kyle Schwarber at 35-1 to be the MVP, and he delivered with 3-for-3 in the swing off. Gets the job done there, and cashes a nice ticket for us to get us above sea level. We were going to be right around even or a little bit below before Schwarber did that. We also had the game over the total, so not a complete loss. Home Run Derby did not go our way. That was very frustrating. But for the week, we were up over 34 units, mainly because of Schwarber. 34.55 units to the good, and again, we were not very good. Golf-wise, Chris Goddard, we've gave him out on the show a couple of times in the last month. And I always say, I play back these players that you know, play decent and near miss. I play them back often because I don't want to get beat by them the next time. Well, totally didn't take my own advice last week and left him off the card. And that was a mistake because he won at a very nice price at the Scottish Open. Very good player. So we were down about 2.5 units in golf last week. First losing week in the AFL since April. We were 7-11. So not very good there. 86-61 run, though, so we're just a touch under 60% since May, so still not bad. CFL, we were 3-3, minus 0.30 units last week. NASCAR, solid showing, up about 1.5 units with Elliott and Bell having good runs for us, so that was positive. But again, Van Gisbergen proving to be tough to beat on these road courses and street courses. So we'll see what happens. Things are evolving, as you can imagine, in all these sports. I mean, it's just something's different all the time. Teams trying to keep up with each other, drivers trying to keep up with each other, players, everything. It's all cutthroat, and you just never know who's going to get the edge. F1, plus 105. That's from last week. That's an old note that I had. There was no F1 last week, so we didn't have anything. So we couldn't lose, and we didn't win, but that's okay. IndyCar-wise, we had no win at Iowa, but we did have a decent showing, especially in the Saturday race with Scott Dixon, Scott McLaughlin, and Will Power, and Santiago Ferrucci, all in the top 10 and 5 there. So pretty good there. We were plus 175 in our units for IndyCar, so not bad. We'll take that, scratch it out. 10-4 in soccer. Soccer, we can continue to stay hot. 71% on the week. We were 1-1 in the Club World Cup. And I got my Chelsea shirt on, and I was against my own team as Italy just scores in the Women's Euro quarterfinal match, a game that I'll talk about here in a little bit. But this is one of these games where I watched the entire first half, and I have the over in the game. We gave it out on Better's Last Stand, the PRP Twitter page. But we have over. And there's been this game could be 5-5 right now. Just no finishing ability by either one of these teams. They've had a numerous buildup and numerous chances. So I went ahead and doubled down, bet the game over 1.5 in play at minus 110 because the second half, there's got to be a break. And that's what Italy just got. It's just like a ball that just gets nipped off a girl's toe and finally finds its way into the net. There was at least 6 balls in the first half that if it's a fraction to the left or the right, more, it's a goal. And I hope this girl's on offside. I don't think she is. I think two Norwegian players played her on with her arm. So anyway, got to get the ball rolling there. Now we need Norway to come right back. But back to soccer, 10-4 on the week, 71%, 1-1 of the Club World Cup. My Chelsea Blues get the job done against PSG. I don't know how they did it, but they whipped their butts. Very impressive win on Sunday. So good things to come there for Chelsea. Get some financial fair play breaks there too. So much needed, that's for sure. Last week we were 9-3. We're 28-13-2 in the Women's Euro, 65% so far in our match bets. So we'll keep an eye on those and continue to give those out each day on BLS_PRP on the Twitter or X machine. You can find those there. I think I put all the games on there through Saturday's quarterfinals, and then there's another break before you get down to semi. So good run in soccer. We'll keep it going. Wish I could say the same for tennis. Boy, we really came off the rails late last week. We had really, really good setup here. We had lots of good things cooking. We had the Sabalenka and Andreeva potential going on. We had the Alcaraz and Djokovic potential going on. We did cash with Alcaraz and Sinner and Alcaraz to make the final. But, you know, Gregor Dimitrov, who we talked about last week, blew his pec out on a serve. That turned out to be a massive injury as it turns out that the guy who he probably was going to have a really good chance of beating in Jannik Sinner comes back, wins a semi-match, which we weren't surprised about, and then beats Alcaraz. So we were a little bit surprised because we had Djokovic. But when Djokovic got hurt the same day, it was a problem. So Djokovic masked the injury pretty good, tried his best, could not handle it. So we lose him, we lose Andreeva, we lose Sabalenka, all within a few-hour period. Really tough final few days, and two cheaters win, and I have that in bad beats. If you're not aware of this, both Swiatek and Jannik Sinner were suspended earlier this year for doping, but you never would have known it because they got to pick the tournaments they missed. Like, do you believe that? They get to pick the tournaments that they missed. They should have been suspended for all the Grand Slams. There's no question about that, but they didn't do it that way, and it's a ridiculous, and Italy scores another goal, so two goal, might have been offside there. But a really, really awful job by tennis, ATP, WTA, disgusted with them both. I'm not a fan of either one of those players. Something did not sit right with either one of these players over the last, 2 to 3 years. They got way too good, way too quick, and something was going on. There was definitely malfeasance going on, and it was proven. And they were found out, and they were suspended. But they didn't get suspended for the majors, and it's absolutely ridiculous. So they go on, and probably if you're going to get a slap on, I don't even consider that a slap on the wrist. That's like grounding you from going to church or something. Maybe you didn't even want to go anyway. But yeah, I'm astonished by it. Never even gets talked about. It's kind of disturbing, bothersome. But nonetheless, they get the job done. Take us out in a body bag over the last few days. 7-14 of the match bets during Wimbledon last week. Overall, though, 42-37-1, 53%. So just above the scratch-out line, 53% is usually what you scratch out to be about even as they review this goal with Italy. I don't think it's going to be a goal. But men's futures, 7-8-1, plus 0.85 units there. Women's futures all went south in a hurry with those upsets. And we were down 850 there, 4-13. So not great. We were very good in the French Open. We started out very good in Wimbledon and just limped home. But again, up 34.55 units for the week here on Bettors Last Stand. So we'll try to get it back up into the 40s and 50s, maybe, if we can hope. But I guess most of the time you would definitely take up 34 units any day of the week or any week of the year. MLB All-Star Game in the books last night. If you didn't see it, yes, your eyes do not deceive you. It looked like a soccer score where it was 6-6, and then the National League wins on a shootout, which a swing off. So basically it stays 6-6, but you have that little notation down there in quotes or in parentheses that says, yes, National League wins in a swing off. Kyle Schwarber cashes the ticket for us at 35-1 for MVP. So we were very happy that swing off happened. That actually saved us, and we would rather had that actually than the American League win. Just laying 105 or no, actually we were a small plus price there for American League, but we'll take the 35-1 over that any time of the year. I really didn't hate that swing off thing. I don't think it's that stupid because baseball is just stupid anyway, because that's all people care about is home runs and swinging for the fences. But I think they should have a bunt off. I think the teams should have to execute drag bunts or suicide squeeze bunts or something along those lines. That would make it more fun, and the teams wouldn't be able to execute it as easily. But baseball is just a gimmick sport now, unfortunately. While the pitch clock has improved it, the other antics that go on there and just nobody has any value for outs, it's quite troubling. But bad baseball is always going to be the very, very worst sport you could ever imagine. But the All-Star game, not exciting, but the exciting ending, I guess. Home Run Derby was a big flop. Very frustrated Home Run Derby. Another one of our bad beats, Brent Rooker. Yeah, we had him in the first round. We had him actually to advance to the final. We had him to be in the final. And it was really upsetting because we had him paired with Junior Caminero, who ended up getting to the finals. He kind of got robbed because he shouldn't even have had to play against Cal Raleigh, who should have got beaten in the first round by Rooker, or at least had a swing-off. Now, how stupid is it that you have a swing-off in the All-Star game, but you will not have a swing-off in the actual Home Run Derby? That doesn't make any sense to me. There's no possible way they measured those accurately. If you weren't aware, it went down to who hit the longest home runs, I guess, added up. And Raleigh beat him by like a hundredth of an inch. Not possible for them to have accurately measured those, so that's also frustrating. I can't tell you how many errors are in these games and in this stuff. It's just, it's chaos out there. The umpires are missing calls constantly. Robots have to be in charge of behind the plate. You saw that last night. I think it was pretty much proven. These umpires can't handle it, and there's no rules, and that was frustrating. So Brent Rooker not getting through the first round, tough one, 11-1, loses on the tiebreaker. Then Raleigh goes on to beat Caminero, who we did have getting to the finals at plus 550. But, geez, we could have had potentially had Rooker, Caminero in the final. We'd have been guaranteed to win. We had that exact matchup. So we had some good picks, I feel like, there. Just bad luck. But that's the way things go. And then our other bad beat, we might as well stay with it, is Novak Djokovic getting hurt. He has that massive stretch where he does a split that would have put you or I or anybody else in the hospital for months. But he somehow comes back, finishes the match, but is never be able to get back his lateral movement the way that he had hoped to get it back in, later on. And when he plays center, he tried a little rally, but he just couldn't do it. I thought in the third set, he got up 3-0. I thought maybe, oh, and a penalty. Oh, absolutely. Italy's complaining about it. Girl, absolutely tackle. This girl should play defensive back for the Bengals because she can tackle better than anybody on their team. She tackles this girl into the ground, and I don't know if they've given the penalty here or not. They're going, oh, she's, you got to be kidding me. So the Norway girl is going to be offside. It's not going to count. Oh, see, I can't buy a break in this game. This game should be, there should be 7 or 8 goals in this game. This is not going to be a penalty. This girl was offside. She's lining up over the ball like she's going to take this. It's offside. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll get back to that. Frustration continues here for us. All right, let's put it to bed. Baseball will be back here in a couple of days. Talk about it next week, see how things are progressing. Still feeling very good about the Red Sox, decently about the Reds, very, very good about the Giants. So we have some active tickets here, I think, that could be useful. I think Boston is very, very live to win the American League East. I think Tampa's going to fade. We've told you all year the Yankees are not very good. They're just a one-man team. So we'll see. Trade deadline's approaching. Adam Frazier already dealt to the Royals for some journeyman guy who's never even played a big league game. I cannot believe that they're going to give Norway this penalty. I'm happy, but she'll probably miss anyway. But baseball, let's put it to bed for this week. We'll be back next week to talk plenty more about what things are going on out of the weekend series. WNBA and Big 3. WNBA, Caitlin Clark gets hurt again last night. Their All-Star break's coming up. Had some games during the day today. If I like anything in the next few days, I'll put that up. I've usually been putting up my WNBA plays. I've been doing pretty well in the WNBA. It's hard to, not as hard as the NBA to know who's going to play, but you got some issues questioning back-to-back, some stuff like that, when some of these girls are nursing actual injuries. And the girl completely misses the net. Completely misses the net. Nice kick. Great job, Norway. Oh, my Lord. You're getting real-time misery from people who had Norway, like me, or people who needed them to score. I mean, this wasn't even close. Pushed it way out to the right. Not even close. The goalie guessed the right way. I mean, this was telegraphed. Yeah, when you open your foot up like that, you're definitely going to go to the right. Poor job, Norway. Oh, man, what a mess. But back to basketball. WNBA heading into their All-Star break in Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark probably not going to be able to play. So that's she re-aggravated that groin injury, it looks like, and devastation if you're a fan of the WNBA, a real fan, or a fan of the Indiana Fever. Big three. Boy, we had a big week in the big three. We went 6-1 in our big three bets last week. So how about that? Let's see if we could keep it going this week as they are in Detroit. And it'll be the LA Riot and the Chicago Triplets. Riot 2-2, Triplets 3-1. These games on Sunday. Chicago minus 1.5, total 94.5. Chicago's won three straight. Both these teams averaging over 96 points per game. So we're going to go over 94.5, and we're going to go with Chicago to make it 4 in a row, covering the 1.5 in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Second game on the docket, 2-2 Dallas Power against the 3-1 Miami 305. This is a dead even game. Miami minus 5.5. I had this game played at 1.5 for Miami. So I'm going to take Dallas Power plus the 5.5. I thought that was a 4-point difference in the line. 93.5 is the total here. Both these teams averaging over 96 points per game. So we're going over the 93.5, and we're taking the Dallas Power plus the 5.5. Third game, 0-4, DMV Trilogy against the 3-1 Detroit Amplifiers, the home team. Detroit lays 4.5, the total 93.5. The DMV Trilogy have really been snake bit here. They've lost several one-possession games, and all their games have been very, very close. So I think they're going to break through this week and play the home team. The adrenaline's going to be pumping. They're going to be ready. They're going to be wanting to prove a point and get their first win on Detroit's home court. So we're taking DMV plus the 4.5 and over 93.5. And then the final game, 1-3 Houston, the big hands take, or the rig hand. Big hands, rig hands. Well, I guess you got to have big hands to be on a rig. 1-3 rig hands taking on the 2-2 Boston Bogs. We had Boston last week. We're going to play Boston again this week. Minus the 2.5. 94.5 is the total here. The rig hands have lost three straight, and two of them, they've been blown out. So we're taking Boston. They're the better team here. And I like the game under 94.5. Houston struggles to score. So those are our plays for the big three this week. And we'll continue to keep an eye on that league. Hopefully we can keep producing winners, because that's what it's all about here on Bettors Last Stand, as we went 6-1 in the big three last week. All right, let's turn our attention to golf a little bit. If you miss this stuff, again, BLS_PRP is where you want to be early on. You got lots of things happening with golf in the next, well, not really. It's kind of winding down. This is the final major. So, but a few things. This British Open being played at Royal Portrush. This is in Northern Ireland. This is considered Rory McIlroy's backyard. He did not play great here last time. Shane Lowry won here last time out in 2019, I think. And I found a couple of interesting stats. This one I thought was very interesting. So of the top 70 players in this tournament, let's see, how many of them? Five. Only five of them, five players have not missed a cut in the British Open, or the Open Championship, as it should be called. Jordan Spieth, 11 for 11. Xander Schauffele, last year's champion, 7 for 7. Robert McIntyre, 5 for 5. Cameron Young, 3 for 3. And Tristan Lawrence, who, if you remember, was in contention for the U.S. Open for a while, he is 3 for 3. So, will that continue here? I don't know, but I think all those guys are probably legit contenders. I'm just going to cut right to it here. I'll be fading Rory. I'll be not fading Scheffler, but I don't love him in this. I mean, now this is a pretty easy course, but the weather is going to be bad from what it looks like, especially the first couple of days. So that could wreak some havoc. You got some wind in play and lots of rain through all 4 days. Wind dies down a little bit, it looks like, on Saturday, but still going to be rainy. John Rahm is probably going to be in contention here. He's not my top pick. I'm going with Xander Schauffele to repeat. That's really hard. Probably a bad pick. But I like Xander's game. He's rounding into form. So we're going to go with Xander Schauffele, John Rahm. And again, I'll throw in Bryson DeChambeau. Those would be my top plays, with a small caveat to Colin Morikawa, who is at 22-1. Morikawa, statistically, in all the models that I ran and have seen so far and reviewed, he's really high up there. And this course apparently suits his game better than any player on the who's in this tournament. So will that pan out? I don't know. It doesn't always pan out. But keep an eye on Morikawa. If he's somebody that you were leaning towards, I would consider it. Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Brooks Koepka is that next tier of guys. We were on Hovland last week, played pretty well, had one really good round. Tyrrell Hatton, great U.S. Open, kind of gave it away late, some mistakes. And Brooks Koepka, whose game is getting better and better. And there's the goal that we needed. Norway, the girl redeems herself. The girl who missed the penalty now ties the game at one. Let's pending review. Let's hope this is a good goal so we can lift the spirits of the station here on the Watchdog Network. Bettors Last Stand Show number 135 coming to you from the Watchdog Pioneer Studios in downtown Wheeling, talking some Open Championship golf again. Victor Hovland, really good round last week. Tyrrell Hatton, game coming back. Brooks Koepka, I like the way his game looked in the U.S. Open. I think he's getting close. So I'm going to take a stab with him as well at 34-1. So you got Hovland anywhere from 25 to 30, Hatton anywhere from 25 to 30, and Koepka anywhere from 35 to 40. Liking that. Cameron Smith interests me a tad. Not sure I'm going to pull the trigger. 110-1 I saw him at. Has won this event before. Plays well in the wind. Game coming around a little bit. Probably going to be on the card. Tony Finau. I've not liked this game all year. I think he's been terrible. But for whatever reason, he's showed a little bit more of a sign of life over the last few weeks to me, even though his results aren't showing it. And this kind of seems like a course that maybe just get his confidence back. So maybe a shot with him at over 50-1. Sepp Straka, he's taken a lot of interest, 65-1. I don't think he's going to be capable of closing the deal here, but I'm probably going to play him anyway just to be safe. Adam Scott, very good wind player. Now, he did miss the cut here the last time they were at Royal Port Rush, but Adam Scott's game, very, very good spot right now. If he could putt a little bit, I think he's in it at 80-1. Aaron Rye has had a great season. We've used him quite a bit. He's 80-1. We'll use him. Ryan Fox, also around 80-1 or better. We'll be using him. He's played well over here in Europe as well. Dean Burmeister, live golf guy. Good form, 100+1. You can get him over 100-1. Gotta like him. He shows up in these majors and plays really, really well. So those are my core plays. Now, I do have some guys. Now, one thing you can take from here is if you're not going to bet these guys, we're just going to throw a few dollars on them. Like, literally, you can throw, like, Big Mac money on these, like a few bucks. But because some of these are going to be massive prices. Will they win? Most likely not. But if you want to play them to make the top 20, top 10, I mean, they're still going to have very, very good prices. So you just never do know. Or if you want to play them in DFS, daily fantasy, weekend fantasy, if you go on DraftKings, play some of these guys. I think there's a lot of golfers in this field that you're not going to have heard of before. But that's why we're here, to tell you people that maybe you haven't heard of. Tristan Lawrence is a guy that probably didn't hear of until the U.S. Open. He's 200-1. He's made every cut that he's ever played in a British Open. So why not take a shot? 200-1 for a couple of dollars. I don't think that's terrible. Daniel Berger, 150-1. He will be on my multiple fantasy tickets as well as some bets as well to make the cut, make the top 20. Could parlay these at a lot of books too, so which is very, very nice. So add him to your repertoire. Mark Leishman. I was very high on Mark Leishman the other day, and I did some outside research on him, and then I drilled down a little bit more. His numbers not as good as I thought they were previously, but he was my gut instinct play at 300-1, so I'm not taking him off the card. He's contended at this tournament. I think he lost in a playoff 1 year in this tournament. So Mark Leishman, 300-1, he will be on there. Harry Hall, gave him out a few weeks ago, playing some good golf, 110-1. He's a UK guy, think he could contend. Nick Taylor had a pretty decent year, 150-1. We're going to be using him. John Perry, 700-1. He plays on the DP World Tour. You probably have never heard of him before. He was in contention last week. John Perry, 700-1. Even if you take him to make the top 30 or 40, you're going to get a nice plus price. Jordan Smith, Englishman, 180-1. DP World Tour guy. Having a really, really good season. Probably not going to know a lot about him. Nicholas Norgaard, 200-1. Another DP World Tour. He's a young guy. Rookie on the DP World Tour. So take a look at him. And then the old man, Lee Westwood, he's not going to win this tournament. I mean, he could never win him in his prime because he would always choke. But at 500-1, if you think Lee Westwood is not capable of making the top 20 here, you're crazy, because he can. He's played these courses like a billion times. So I would say Lee Westwood, to me, worth putting in some of your stuff. I mean, if you throw a couple dollars on this guy, if it's a $500 return, I'm not saying he's going to win. But if you wanted to use him, I don't recommend parlays other than in certain situations. Golf, sometimes I think parlaying these guys to make and miss the cut, top 20s and 30s and 40s. You can do all different ranges of these and parlay them together. So I think there is some value there. Or you can round rod them as I would do, and then you're covered. If you get some big plus prices in there and you have a couple guys that don't make it, you could still scratch out a nice return. So again, Shoffley, Rahm, DeChambeau, top plays, followed by Morikawa, Hovland, Hatton, Brooks Koepka, going to be uses for sure, Cam Smith, Tony Finau, Sepp Straka, Aaron Rye, Ryan Fox, Dean Burmeister. Those are my core plays. Tristan Lawrence at 200-1, Daniel Berger at 150-1, Mark Leishman at 300-1, Harry Hall at 110-1, Nick Taylor at 150-1, John Perry at 700-1, Jordan Smith at 180-1, Nicholas Norgaard at 200-1, and Lee Westwood at 500-1. Those are my longer shot plays. Also thought Laurie Cantor, who I didn't have on here, 350-1. He will be a use for me. Patrick Reed, another guy maybe worth a shot, at least a use on some of your DFS tickets and some parlays for your top 20s, 30s, 40s, and that. Andrew Novak, I liked him a tad. I thought he might be worth a play, but then I looked at his British Open history, and it's not been very good. So probably going to take a pass on him. Torbjørn Olesen, 200-1. He was a pretty good player a few years ago. He was another guy that I had down as a potential long shot. Again, I'll have all these BLS underscore PRP, so you could have found these earlier in the week. Should you choose to play along with us. But you can get involved on the weekend, too, so there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to check something out on Saturday or Sunday, you can still get some of these guys in active contention at good numbers or even better numbers, potentially. All right, that's in the golf is in the book. Let's talk about some industry things that are going on in the industry of sports betting here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 135. Thanks for listening here on the Watchdog Network and at the Pine Room Studios. All right, let's get into it. We always got to keep people apprised of the Fair Bet Act and the Big Beautiful Bill. Now, as we talked about, Big Beautiful Bill caused some issues, still not in effect until 26. Now there's a Fair Bet Act that's been put forth by Dina Titus from Nevada. We'll see if anything materializes there to get it back to where you could actually claim 100% of your losses. Previously, you could do that. Then they're talking about the Big Beautiful Bill cuts it down to 90%, so you can only claim 90%. That's a problem for people. They're going to try to amend that, so we'll see what happens. No new news on that front. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred says he is still a proponent of legalized sports betting, but micro and flash betting could be vulnerable to corruption in his mind. I see what he means to a degree, but if we can't trust our employees and whatever business we're in, at some point you have to have integrity as a person. And, you know, you're just going to have to start weeding people out, and that's what you'll do. So I wouldn't take this away. I would lower the limits for sure. Books have got to be very cautious, but they are. Legalized books will catch this stuff. And I think it'll be good to continue to catch people that are violating these rules and taking them down. That's what I think. But I wouldn't redo the entire industry just for that. Terry Rozier, his investigation remains ongoing despite several reports last week that he would be clear of wrongdoing. Again, he was one of the NBA players in this consortium that it looks like was pressuring and getting to these NBA players to tank on their props. Rozier had some fantasy, not as in fantasy sports, but some mythical injury that he said he had 10 minutes into a game was all his unders catch, and that's why he's under investigation. But that continues to go on. Last week, there were some reports that said he was going to be cleared of wrongdoing, but he hasn't been yet. Cauchy is reviewing $162,000 worth of baseball trades placed during a 12-second window, including several improbable odds, the exchange revealed last week. Cauchy is the first federally regulated exchange in the U.S. where users in the United States can trade on the outcomes of real-world events and sports. Buyers can purchase yes-no outcomes on multiple things, whether it's politics. I've seen things on let's see, what else? Oh, like world leaders. I guess it could kind of fall under politics, but like wars. I've seen weather events on here. I've seen, obviously, sports. So anything that you can imagine, it could be a yes-no outcome. You're basically seeing it traded like a stock market. So Cauchy is got around sports betting rules because they do other things. And very, very interesting come election season. If you ever want to get on Cauchy, you want to have some action on the Arkansas Senate race, that's where you want to go. Fantastic stuff out of them. Very impressed. But you got a 12-second window of some questionable trades. It's just like the stock market. Something's going on here, so we'll see what becomes of that. No real details provided. Noteworthy bet on DraftKings last week. I think this is actually a good bet. If you have this kind of money and disposable income, I think this isn't a terrible bet in the way that the college football landscape is. I've seen a lot worse. $2,500, that's still a lot of money, but it's not an insane amount of money. $2,500 on the Baylor Bears to win the college football national championship at 200-1. Never know. They get in there, anything could happen. So it would pay out $500,000. I think $2,500 to win $500,000 is not a terrible bet, especially if you pitched in with some guys. Scotty Scheffler, lowest pre-open championship odds at 5-1 since Jordan Spieth was around the same price back in 2015. And books really not taking the Scheffler action as they had before. I don't know if they're concerned about the field or the course or the weather or what, but not as much Scheffler money showing. And I can attest to that as well. As Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack, we didn't take as much Scheffler action as we normally do either, at least until the point where we recorded the show here. A couple things to preview here on Bettors Last Stand coming up in the coming days. We have several things to talk about football-wise. College football previews, we're going to start those next week with the ACC. That'll be followed by the Big 12 the next week, the SEC on the 6th of August, and the Big 10 on the 13th of August. NFL division previews, we'll start those at the end of July. The 30th of July, we'll do the AFC and NFC South. The 6th of August, we will do the AFC and NFC West. The 13th of August, we will do the AFC and NFC West. These are is the week of, so whenever you do listen to the show, that's just our recording week. AFC and NFC North will be our final division preview on the week of 8/20, which will be August the 20th. And then we'll do a fantasy football roundup as you head into our drafts. Most of the people draft around Labor Day, unless you're nuts and are drafting back in June like some people, which is just insane. EPL, we're going to do a little EPL football preview here in the coming days as the English Premier League will kick off in the middle of August. So we're going to do that on 8/6, that first week of August, to talk about the EPL, and maybe if we know where Manchester City's going to be as far as their point deduction and all that kind of stuff. And we'll talk League One, League Two, Championship, anything that we like from betting standpoint in the EPL and English leagues, the lower leagues, coming up here in August. So next week, our first football preview. So get yourself ready for that as Bettors Last Stand show number 135 rolls on here. And we got a few things to recap from the world of football. Let's see, what do I got? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong page here. Okay, so I did have an early college football bet that I probably could have waited and given out during my ACC, but I'm going to give it out now because I like it, and I think the number might move a little bit as we get into the football portion of the program here on show number 135. Thanks for listening here on the Watchdog Network and at the Pine Room Studios, wherever you may listen to your podcast. It's Bettors Last Stand. Early college football bet that I like, Pitt, over 6.5 wins. Now, I am not a Pitt person. I'm very anti-Pitt, but last year, when all of a sudden Eli Holstein showed up a couple games in and took over the full-time starting job. Now, he was hurt a little bit. This guy's from Alabama. He transferred in, and he's pretty good. So he lifted Pitt quite a bit. So I like Pitt over 6.5. I think they have a chance to start out 4-0. They have a very weak starting schedule, which includes the Mountaineers. I know that's at Mountaineer Field, but to me, that's not an intimidating place to play. I know some people would disagree with that, but these days, I don't think it is. I think they could be 4-0 before they have a home game against Louisville in week number 5. So Mountaineers in week 3, I think it's a win. WVU currently listed as a 2.5-point favorite in that game. I can't see that. I feel like Pitt should be favored in that game, so we'll get to that play in a minute. Pitt doesn't play Clemson, and they get Miami at home. Their toughest game will probably be at Syracuse, and then they have a home game against Notre Dame, which will be difficult too. I think Pitt wins a minimum of 8 games. I think you can have one to spare here. You get to 7. I think you only need to get to 7. I think you can get to 8. So I will be backing Pitt. I can't believe I'm going to be on Narduzzi. That's probably a massive mistake. But I do like the Pitt Panthers to win at least 8 games this year, so we'll go over 6.5. Also like them against the Mountaineers. I'd play the money line on this game right now. It's going to be plus, 150, 160, something like that. Catching a couple. We'll see what it actually opens up the week of the game. But I will be on the Pitt Panthers in that game right away. I think that's going to be a tough spot for the Mountaineers, who I'm also going to consequently bet under 5.5. I don't love the Mountaineers' schedule. I just think that they're really struggling to find talent down there. I've heard nothing but concern from multiple reporters about that team. So we'll go Mountaineers under. And then Miami, my favorite team. I got to be honest. They were not very good last year. Had a good quarterback. Bad defense. I don't know how they turn it around. I know you can turn things around quickly here. They do get Carson Beck, but I don't ever think Carson Beck was that great of a quarterback anyway. He's just okay. So I'm leaning Miami under 9.5. I'm not officially making that a play yet. I got to see a little bit more out of their practices and see what's coming together. But they got tough games. They got Notre Dame at home to open the year. They're going to lose that game. They got SMU away. They'll probably lose that game. They got at Virginia Tech. I hate to say it more than anything, but they'll probably lose that game. They're at Pitt, which I talked about a minute ago. Going to be a tough game. They're at Florida State, who's not very good, but still, rivalry game on the road, tough. And then they got to play Florida, Louisville, and Syracuse all at home. Like, that's a hard schedule, even if they're good. I don't trust this team enough to do it. I don't trust Cristobal enough to be able to win games. He might get players, but he doesn't really win big games very often. So I got to recommend my Miami Hurricanes under 9.5 wins, as much as it pains me to say, but you got to be objective when you're doing this kind of thing. A couple other bets, smaller time college football. Western Kentucky, if you look through their roster, really nice team, got some great parts back on offense, going to be a very, very potent offense, like their team quite a bit. We're going to go over 7.5 with them, and at +390, we're going to take them to win Conference USA. I think they could be very good there. I think I actually are co-favorites, I think, but +390 as a co-favorite, I feel all right about it. I don't like to give out chalky plays, but +390 is definitely not a chalky play. So we're going to take Western Kentucky to win Conference USA and over 7.5 wins. I think they win 9 easily there and have a good chance maybe to get 10. UTSA, Johnson's Roadrunners, over 7.5 wins. This is another team. They were a little down last year, but things are looking up for them right now. They got some good talent on this roster. I like what I see from everything I've read so far of beat writers covering this team. So we're going to go over 7.5 wins for UTSA and take a little nibble on them to win the AAC at +465. So UTSA, Western Kentucky, both over 7.5, both to win their conferences, Western Kentucky in Conference USA, UTSA in AAC. So those are some early football bets here for you on Bettors Last Stand. We'll have plenty more of those in the coming days as we get you prepared for football season beginning next week with our ACC preview. We'll start previewing and giving you our best bets out in the college ranks beginning next week, followed by the NFL the following week. Okay, let's keep it in college football here before we give you some CFL plays. So you got week zero. That's August the 23rd. It's a Saturday. You got Iowa State and Kansas State. That is a game in Ireland. It's 12 noon our time here in the East. Right now you got K-State 3.5, the total 49.5 in that game. I don't really have anything on that game yet, but I do really like Western Kentucky in the next game, as we just talked about them. I'm very high on them, and they get to take on Sam Houston State. This game opens 7.5, now up to 10.5, and I'd probably lay 13 or less with Western Kentucky. I think they're going to be much too difficult for Sam Houston State. So we're going to go with Western Kentucky. I get on that now before it continues to go up, because you're going to see a lot of people on that. I've had a 3-point move. Usually those early on, there's some sharp action on it already. And although we're probably recommending this a tad too late, I still think 10.5 is a takeable number. Kansas and Stanford, small lean there to Kansas. But that numbers went down a little bit. Kansas opened 14.5. These, again, week zero games. Kansas opened 14.5 down to 13.5. And they play Fresno State. Stanford plays Hawaii. That's the next game we'll talk about. But Kansas minus 13.5 against Fresno. Probably lean in Kansas if you can get under 14 there. Small lean there. But again, Western Kentucky, my first outright play on week zero. Stanford and Hawaii, a little bit of movement here in this one. You got Stanford opening up a 2.5 point favorite. That now down to 1 in pick at some places. So Hawaii and Timmy Chang taking a little bit of action there in week number zero. Skip ahead to week one. A couple games that we're keeping an eye on here with some decent line moves. You had UMass and Temple, a noon kick on August the 30th. You had UMass minus 1.5. Now it's Temple minus 2. I am on the Owls there as well. So get on Temple now before this goes up a little bit more. Temple Owls minus the 2 against UMass with a nice move in their direction. And then Syracuse. Syracuse is going to be pretty good. They lost a little bit, but they got some good players transferring in. Their coach that they had last year did a very good job. They beat Miami at home. They're going to be tricky. In Tennessee, from what I've heard, they have lost a lot. They are they don't have a good chemistry yet. It's going to take a while. They got a lot of new personnel that they're working through. So I've heard everybody that I've read something who is in the know on Tennessee has said the same thing, is their cohesion is going to be a problem. So first game of the year, I think that's going to rear its ugly head. Tennessee now up to a 13-point favorite in a neutral site game in Atlanta. I'll be on Syracuse there plus the 13. I would probably take Syracuse plus 10 or more. I think Syracuse will have a shot of outright winning that game. So I will be on the orange in week number one. Another game that had a big line move, but I haven't yet pulled the trigger on this. We talked about Hawaii in week zero. They host Stanford. Well, then they come right to the mainland to take on Arizona. Right now, Arizona, a 13.5-point favorite. This opened 10.5. So let's keep an eye on that. Arizona could be a good play. Get it in there before it gets over 14, as Arizona will host Hawaii the week after Hawaii plays. Now, Hawaii might be a little bit more buttoned up, and they might be a little bit exhausted, too, playing a game and then coming to the mainland in a quick turnaround. Could be tough. A couple feature games that day as well on week number one. It'll be Ohio State and Texas. Ohio State now down to 2.5 at some spots, as Norway nearly has a shot of winning the game. Oh, jeez. Would have been nice. But Norway. Ohio State and Texas, what's going to be? Julian Sand, Arch Manning, ooh, showdown. We don't know what to expect. Lots of new stuff in the cupboard for both of these teams. Should be a good one. Other big games that day, Alabama at Florida State. Currently Alabama 12.5-point favorite on the road there. Clemson -3 at home against LSU in one Death Valley. It's the battle of the Death Valleys. Curious about that one. Maybe LSU in that one, but LSU seems always ill-prepared for these week one games under Brian Kelly. They always have some sort of catastrophe. And then Miami-Notre Dame. Right now, Notre Dame land 2.5 on the road. I would say the Irish, unless the Irish take a massive step backwards, I think they'll kill Miami. Hopefully not, but I think it could be big, big problems for the Hurricanes. All right, that'll conclude our college football talk for today. Plenty more to come next week as we preview the ACC, give you our ACC best bets, but I already gave out Pitt today, so jump on that one immediately, BLS_PRP. We'll have all these laid out for you in case you are in the car and you can't write these down. Canadian football, last week we were at the mark of 3-3, so not terrible. Toronto at Montreal. Montreal -10, total 51. These teams just played back in June. It was 28-10 Montreal. Montreal is a much better team. Toronto comes in 1-4, Montreal 3-2. Montreal has lost 2 in a row. I think that's not going to happen this time. So we're going to go with Montreal and the over. The 3 of the last 4 between these two have went over. So we're going with Montreal -10 and over 51. Calgary at Winnipeg. 4-1 Calgary at 3-1 Winnipeg. It'll be Winnipeg -3.5, the total 50. In this one, and Calgary comes in with their only loss, a really bad loss to Ottawa, who's not very good. Winnipeg has they played 2 weeks ago, and the Calgary won the game 37-16. I wanted to play Winnipeg 3.5 here, but I'm taking Calgary. I just think Calgary's a little bit better. 2 of the last 3 for Winnipeg, actually both home games for Winnipeg this year have went over the total of 50. So we're going to go over the 50, and we're going to take Calgary plus the field goal in the hook. I think Calgary's for real in this league this year. Saskatchewan at BC. Saskatchewan 4-1. BC 3-3. BC lays 1. Total 52.5. Saskatchewan won this game 37-18 back in June. Can they do it again? I don't know. I would lean BC in this game, but I don't love anything. BC's won 2 straight overall. Last 2 under in this series. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go under. I think this will be a tightly played game. I think BC will really dig in on defense and try to slow down Saskatchewan and get the win here at home, but I don't love them, so we're just going under. Hamilton, 3-2 Hamilton and 1-5 Ottawa. Ottawa catching 1.5 at home. 54 is the total. Hamilton's defense is really bad. Ottawa's defense is really bad. Hamilton's road games this year, they're averaging 76.5 points per game total in those games. So we're going over the 54.5 here. They've not been able to stop anybody, especially on the road. Ottawa, Hamilton beat Ottawa 23-20 last week. So maybe redemption. I'm going with Ottawa, though, at home to redeem themselves. Plus 1.5, and we're going to go over the 54 with Hamilton's defense struggling on the road, to say the least. All right, let's jump into the racing circuit now as the American/Canadian football is over for this show. Again, if you missed anything, BLS_PRP or at the Pine Room Studios, or WatchdogNetwork.com. Oh, and a late goal by Italy just blows me up. Oh, my Lord. Well, I had Norway in that game, but we did get the game over, and we didn't get both teams to score, so that's good to mitigate some of the mess that just made. Oh, Norway couldn't hang on for a couple more minutes, although there might be some stoppage time here, so maybe they can they've had the better of the play. All right, let's recap it. IndyCar, they were at the doubleheader at Iowa last week. We didn't do too terrible, but we'll try to come back and be even stronger here this week in Toronto. As your winners last week, Pato O'Ward took the first race at Iowa, and that was followed by a win by Alex Palou, who seems to always win. But we did have good performances from Scott Dixon, Santino Ferrucci, Scott McLaughlin, and Will Power. We'll take that as much as we possibly can. We now head to Toronto, where last year's winner, Colton Herta, is installed as a second choice right now, plus 325. Alex Palou, again, the favorite at plus 275. Both of those numbers are way, way too low for me to take a shot with. So I will be passing on Colton Herta. Now, he did lead 81 laps in this race last year, and I think he's going to have a very strong car, but I can't bet him at that price. He's just not good enough to be able to bet at that price. Kyle Kirkwood, plus 350, a little too short for him as well. Scott Dixon's the first guy I'm interested in there. Led a couple of laps here last year, is Mr. Consistent. He and the top five just go together. He was third and fourth at these races the last 2 years and coming off a strong showing in Iowa. So we'll go with Scott Dixon at 8-1. Christian Lundgaard, who actually won this race 2 years ago, led 54 laps. He was very, very strong, and he ran well last year, finishing seventh. So I think Christian Lundgaard is a contender here at 8-1, so we'll use him as well. Scott McLaughlin also, 7-1, had some success here. He was sixth here 2 years ago, and he was 16th, but he had a crash. He was running very well and had a crash late. So good car for Scott McLaughlin. I think he's a player at 7-1. Joseph Newgarden, 8-1. Not interested in him. He's not had a good year. Will Power, 12-1. Pato O'Ward at 10-1. Not really interested in any of those guys. I think it's really Dixon, McLaughlin, and Lundgaard. But I also thought, interestingly enough, Marcus Armstrong, you could find him at around 13-1. He's ran very well here. Now, Marcus Armstrong is not a guy that you hear us mention a whole lot, but in this case, we are going to mention him because he ran in the top 10 the last 2 years at Toronto. So Marcus Armstrong will be a play as well for IndyCars as they head to Toronto. Staying on the open wheel circuit, well, not staying on the same circuit, switching circuits, but staying in the open wheel cars, it's the Belgian Grand Prix. Now, the last time we talked about F1, we saw Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri run 1-2 despite Piastri winning the race. It was a time penalty for a delaying on the restart, and only 4 minutes of stoppage time, and I don't know, half of it, Italy's been celebrating, so it's got to be added on. Nico Hülkenberg, it's nice to see him get on the podium, much deserved. Belgium Grand Prix, and Belgium's been one that's been a little bit interesting. Last year, you had George Russell be disqualified, and his teammate at the time, Lewis Hamilton, yeah, confused me because I knew Antonelli's his teammate now. Lewis Hamilton inherits the win via DQ. George Russell's car weighed like a quarter pound less than it needed to weigh at the inspection, so he lost the race because of it. Devastating for him. He's installed at 14-1 here. Lewis Hamilton also at 14-1. Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, co-favorites at plus 160. Lando Norris comes in winners of two straight. Max Verstappen won the previous three races here in Belgium before last year's win for Lewis Hamilton. The contenders, I'm curious to see how this is gonna play out. Qualifying's been really important here. Pole sitters won four of the last five, obviously last year did not. But pole sitting, very important. Not quite like Monaco where you have to have it, but the pole sitter at this track has had a lot of success. So if Piastri wins the pole or Norris wins the pole, they're probably going to have a leg up. So keep that in mind. I'm going with Piastri. I think he's a little ticked off after last race. Got DQ'd, had the better car, had the better performance, should have won the race. Everything said he's better. He's the better driver for McLaren overall, and I think it's starting to irritate him that Lando Norris keeps getting propped up by fortunate occurrences. I don't think that's going to happen this time. We're going to go with Piastri to win the race. We'll see how he qualifies. Also thought Mercedes double top six was interesting. I think George Russell is going to be highly motivated to redeem himself after finishing last year when he really won the race. And Antonelli's had a bad little luck streak here, but I think he's a good enough racer. I like him to be able to get into top six. You can find that plus 235. A double Mercedes top six, you get 2-1. How in the world is this match over already? Really poor job by this official. Literally, Italy celebrated half of the stoppage time for their goal in the 89th minute, and they didn't add anything on, and there was a penalty. There was two reviews in the second half, and they gave him nut boy. Well, anyway, we got two of our three bets home, so I guess I can't complain, but we were looking for a potential sweep of the board, but that's the way it goes. But back to the racing. Ferrari double top 6-2 at minus 180. Can Lewis Hamilton run in the top six here? Probably, but I want to see how he qualifies. Charles Leclerc has run well here in the past. Again, pole sitters have had an advantage, and rain is expected. So, again, that could boost McLaren's opportunities to win. But we're going with Piastri. Anything else I like post-qualifying, I'll put up at BLS_PRP. And then, finally, it's NASCAR. Shane Van Gisbergen gets it home last week again, leading 97 laps at Sonoma. This is a little bit boring. His braking and shifting abilities are substantially better than anybody else right now, so he has a massive advantage. But all bets are off now. Van Gisbergen back to 150-1 here at Dover, the Monster Mile, place where I've spent a lot of time. Great racetrack, really, really cool race there at the Monster Mile. Concrete and just a really cool place. If you haven't been on that property, really neat. Nice casino there at Dover Downs and really, really cool place. So it's the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. Denny Hamlin is the favorite. I thought it was weird Denny Hamlin was the favorite. He's only won here two times in his career. Not say only, but like he hasn't dominated this track. He's got a 15.6 average. I thought Kyle Larson made more sense as the favorite. 8.2 career finish, average finish. He does only have one win though. He's at 5-1. Ryan Blaney, the third choice, it's plus 650, 17.4 average. He's been pretty strong in the last two, but he's never won here. William Byron is the guy that I'm interested in most of all out of the shorter shots. You can find him around 7-8-1, and I think William Byron is sleeping on a big one here. Sitting on a big one. Don't sleep on him, I guess is what I should say. 14.9 average, has led a lot of laps here at Dover. He's just had some bad luck at the ends. I think very, very good opportunity for William Byron here around 8-1. Chris Bell, next choice, has had some bad luck too. 10-1, little short there. Definitely a contender. Chase Elliott, another one. Two wins here. He's 11-1. He's got a 9.5 average, second to only Kyle Larson. So Chase Elliott will be an absolute use. To me, when I think of this track, I immediately think of the Hendrick cars. I've been there many, many times when Hendrick cars have dominated this race. Even guys like Alex Bowman, who I will be using as well. Alex Bowman, a little bit worse than 17 average finish, but has had some really good runs and some top fives and a win here. So 20-1, we'll be taking a shot with Alex Bowman. Kyle Busch, a guy we don't talk about a ton, hasn't had a whole lot of luck. He's a 22-1. He's got three wins here, 13.9 average. This is a track he feels very comfortable. This is a driver's track. If you like this track and you are good at this track, you usually run well here, barring mechanical failure. So Kyle Busch falls into that category. Brad Keselowski, looking for some momentum. Last week we told you it was the only track that road course wise that Brad Keselowski was ever really good at, and he ran well. Actually screwed us out of a top 10. He finished 11th. We had him as a top 10, but couldn't get it done. But he needs to win this to get in the playoffs. He's got a win here. He's 35-1, 13.5 average. This is a kind of track. It's like a, obviously it's double the size of Bristol. Bristol, the half mile. This is a full mile. So you have a double size track here. It's an oval with good banking. And these teams are going to go all out to try to win to get into the playoffs. Brad Keselowski is a guy who's going to be banging people around on this track that suits his style of racing. I think he's got a shot here at 35-1. Hopefully he qualifies well. Eric Jones has had some bad luck here, had good cars and bad luck. He's 65-1. Not certain he can win this race, but I think he can run in the top 10. And then Ricky Stenhouse, a guy who we only use on certain tracks, and this is one of them. He's run very well here. Obviously, I compared it to Bristol a moment ago, and he runs very well at Bristol. He's a good super speedway guy. He's a good banked oval guy. Obviously, tracks with banking seem to suit Ricky Stenhouse, so we'll be taking a shot with him. He's over 100-1, so I think that makes a lot of sense. So again, our top play is going to be William Byron, followed by Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Eric Jones, and Ricky Stenhouse at the Monster Mile. Ty Gibbs has had some success here, but he hasn't. Not a long enough sample size yet for me to pull the trigger with him. Joey Logano's got no wins, has several top fives, can't pull the trigger on him. Thought Chase Briscoe would be a fade. Tyler Reddick, I don't love his stuff there. Ross Chastain's one whose stats don't say he's been good, but he has had a couple outlier races here at Bristol. Again, suits his style, banging people around, knocking them in the ass. That's the kind of stuff that some of these guys really, really enjoy. So again, BLS_PRP, you can find all our NASCAR picks as we look to give you a winner at the Monster Mile this weekend at Dover, Delaware. All right, we're winding it down here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 135. We've covered a lot. Again, BLS_PRP. If you missed the show, too, anywhere you get your podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, Apple, Pine Room Studios on YouTube, pineroomstudios.com, watchdognetwork.com. Can listen to us just about anywhere you can find a listening device or an internet connection. AFL round number 19. We were not sharp last week. Let's hope we can bounce back and revert to our nearly 60% form since late April, early May. We're 86 and 61 during that run. Let's go to round 19. You only got 6 weeks left, and injuries really starting to be a concern. I went through the injury report, and there's a lot of big names on these injury reports. So you got to take that into account. Who will be available for these teams? You may see some late line fluctuations by the time the lineups are announced. I don't know, but it's getting down to the end here. You got injuries piling up. You got 6 weeks left in the season. From number 11th place Carlton, or 12th place Carlton, I figure everybody ahead of them has a shot of making the finals, which is their playoffs. So the top eight make the playoffs, slash they call it the finals. So I think Carlton's probably out at 6-11. They're in 12th right now. They're not good enough to make up enough ground there. From 4th to 11th, they're only separated by 3 games. And a lot of these teams play each other. So still a ton to be decided. You had the top team in the league get beat last week. Horrible performance by them. They almost come back. They end up taking a late lead and then losing. But Collingwood decimated with injuries. Massive injury problems for them. Brisbane Lions are the team that I would recommend. If you're looking for something to put in on a parlay, maybe you're trying to parlay some whatever. If you like to parlay golf, racing, whatever, Brisbane Lions would be a team that I would look in if you're doing a cross-sport, multi-parlay, four-team, whatever, one of those big tickets that can pay a lot. If you're looking for something to add to your parlay, I think Brisbane Lions to make the finals or to win the final, they are the team to me that is the most complete. Now, they did lose with the retirement of Joe Danaher. They probably would be the outright clear-cut leader to win this thing. But they got a really good team. They got good young guys that are coming up here, so they're not missing him as much as I thought they would. They're really good. They're playing really good on both sides of the ball right now. They are the best team that I've seen visually by far. They're better than Collingwood. And Collingwood, again, decimating with injury. So take a look at the Brisbane Lions. They could be the one team that could be there. I think they're the third or fourth choice at round 5-1. You might be able to find some sixes out there. Some sixes out there last week. But if you're looking for something to throw on a ticket, I would recommend them at least to maybe make the final. You can get them at a plus price. All right, so let's get into round 19. It's GWS and this Essendon. GWS minus 49.5. That you'll miss this game probably. It's a Thursday. Again, you can find all these BLS underscore PRP. We went Essendon plus the 50 and under 170.5. 4 of the last 5 have been under. I can't trust GWS off a big win over Geelong. I think they'll have a letdown. Essendon's lost 6 straight. They're just horrendous, but I think they could cover this at home. Western and Brisbane. Western needs this really bad. They're 10-7. They're in 9th place, 1 spot out of the finals. Brisbane, in my opinion, best team in the league. They've won 3 in a row. The Western Bulldogs, they had a 4-game win streak snap last week by the Adelaide Crows. So not playing bad. Total 170.5 here. I like the over. Brisbane's scoring a ton of points, especially at home at the GABA. I think they put up a bunch of points here, and I like them to cover the 10.5. That's not enough points. Brisbane should roll in this game. Western, I think, will give a good account for themselves. I think they wear down late, so we'll go Brisbane and over 170.5. Port Adelaide, also a team that needs it. They've been playing a lot better. They got to 8-9. They're at 11-6. Hawthorne, they are in 11th spot. They got to get up to 8th, and I thought this total was a tad bit low, but Jason Horne-Francis now out for Port Adelaide, and it looks like it's been revealed that he's broken his foot, and I don't think it's like a fracture. I think he's going to be done for the season. So that is an absolute devastating blow for the Power. Can they overcome it? I don't know. I'm going to take a shot with them plus 30 here on the road. Hawthorne's had trouble scoring points, but I think that 30 is going to be a lot to cover. I do like the over, though, so that kind of contradicts my over. But we're going to go over the 152.5, and we're going to take the plus 30 on the Port Adelaide Power. North Melbourne at Sydney. Sydney minus 39.5. 172.5 is the total there. 4 of the last 5 in the series have went over the total. Swans really need this. They're playing good football right now. 8-9. I think they've won 4 out of 5. So we're going with the Swans. Keep it rolling with them. Swans minus 39.5 against North Melbourne, who's kind of packed it in. They got 4 wins. It's been a decent year for them. 172.5 will go over as well. Melbourne and Carlton, an early Sunday bounce. Carlton, as I mentioned, they're really struggling. Melbourne, too, 6-11. Both these teams aren't very good. Melbourne did beat their rival, North Melbourne, last week. 3 of the 4 in this series have been decided by 4 points or less. So I will take Carlton at home. It's a risky one. And I'll take under 163.5. I think both these teams will play it tight, thinking this might be their last chance for a win this season. 4-13, Richmond at 1-16, West Coast. Richmond, Huge win for us last week. They covered. They won outright. We told you they're dangerous at home. They're four. They have four wins at home this year. They have no wins on the road. So do I play West Coast minus 4.5? I can't. I just can't. So I'm going to play this game under 160.5, Richmond and West Coast. I think that one will be a tough one too. Very, very closely contended because both teams are going to think this is our last shot at a victory. I want to pull the trigger on Richmond, but they've been so bad away. And West Coast did have a couple upset wins at home, and they are favored in this game, if you can believe it. St. Kilda at Geelong. Geelong looking to bounce back. Geelong fourth in the table. St. Kilda about finished there. They have won two of the last three in this series, but I don't think that's going to continue. We'll go under 170.5 and take the Cats minus 33.5. Fremantle, much need of a win here. They've won 7 out of 8. They are in the eighth spot, holding on that last position in the finals. Collingwood, 7-game win streak got snapped last week. They're very shorthanded, had a lot of good players out against Gold Coast, and they have a lot out again here this week. I lean Fremantle here, but we're going to go under 163.5. Collingwood's offense did not look normal last week, so we're going to go under in this one and sit out the side. Gold Coast, who upset Collingwood, they will be at Adelaide. Adelaide's won 3 straight overall. They lay 16.5 here. 174.5 is the total. Both teams in good form. Suns have won 3 straight too, so you got both teams playing well here. We're going to go over 174.5. I think there'll be some points in that matchup. And then finally, wrapping it up in soccer, women's Euros, the only games you'll be able to get here. I got Switzerland and Spain. We're going to go Spain minus 2.5 in that game. Alexis Putellas to score a goal, and both teams to score, no. I think this will be a win to nil for Spain over Switzerland on Friday. And then in the other quarterfinal match on Saturday, it will be Germany taking on France. We will go with Germany to advance at plus, I think they're plus 145 or 150. Both teams to score, we're going to go with, and we're going to go over 2.5 goals. And I also think it's worth playing an exact score. The last three times these teams have played, it's been 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. I think 2 to Germany, 1 to 2 France. So if you play them both on both sides, you can get plus 550 on France at 2-1, plus 850 on the Germans at 2-1. I think Germany wins the game. I think both teams score. So I think it's like a 2-1 Germany. So that's what we're going to go with. Again, I'll have the games from Wednesday and Thursday also up on BLS underscore PRP. So you can get those anytime, anywhere, anytime, anywhere you have your phone, mobile device, whatever, to get on Twitter or X. That's going to do it here for us here in the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here for show number 135 of Bettors Last Stand. Thanks for tuning in. Lots coming up here on the Watchdog as the guys are winding down post one. You also have high school football right around the corner. It won't be long. We'll be talking Ohio and West Virginia high school football, Wheeling Central, Wheeling Park, John Marshall. You can hear them all right here on the Watchdog Network. Can tune into our show, Pine Room on the Watchdog, every single Tuesday and Friday from noon to 3, although the Friday time slot could be sliding later in the day as we get ready for our Football Fridays out at Gumby's once again this year. So thanks again for tuning in. Again, follow us at the Pine Room Studios, at Bettors Last Stand, at BLS underscore PRP on X. Can get updates and all kinds of timely information on BLS underscore PRP as far as the sports betting world goes. And follow us at the Pine Room Studios on our social media, at the Watchdog Network for all the Watchdog updates, pineroomstudios.com, Pine Room Studios YouTube, all that good stuff. And we appreciate you tuning in here on the Watchdog Network here as we take you into your weekend. So good luck this week, and hopefully you can put together some winning tickets with us. And we will see you next week for show number 136 as we start our football previews on Bettors Last Stand. We'll be back here on the Watchdog next week. Have a great, great weekend. You're listening to the Watchdog.